Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, you may remain standing if you can. We're going to jump right into the Word of God. Can you grab your Bibles? If you did not get a message outline when you walked in, lift your hand and the ushers will give that to you. And I'm excited to share with you this morning a fresh bread. Come on, I got some fresh bread today. And it's been baking in the oven, and it's nice and warm since it's so cool in here. It's going to taste so good. Come on. I'm going to talk about the AC at least 20 times in the service, just letting you know right now, because some of you don't even know. Like, when the AC went on, I was like a baby tear. We've been waiting a long time. Come on, somebody, to get that. Somebody clap like you. You know. Come on, help me out. Amen. Let's celebrate that. It was like a baby tear. Oh, Lord. It's like, come on. I got you sitting here and worship the Lord. Not the AC, but the Lord. Like, praise God. Thank you so much. Amen. So good. God is good. But grab your Bibles. Go with me to the book of Jonah. And we are going to continue the series we've been talking in History Makers, where we are making his story in our lives as we as a church family in a very historic, prophetic moment as we're stepping into, you know, all that God is doing. And I want to continue talking about particularly Jonah. We've been doing a forensic study here on the life of Jonah, how God chased him down because he was a part of God's story. Anybody here have been chased down by God? Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand if God chased you down. I'll raise mine. I saw a foot go up over here in the left. God bless you. Okay, amen. Come on now. God chased us down. Because I got someone waving their phone. Come on now. There you go. Amen. And God has a call of God on us. You're not here by accident. And I know that may sound cliche, but think about anywhere God could have put you. But he's put you at this moment with our church family. And I believe he's perfectly positioning you, your marriage, your life, into a place of stepping into a new dimension of what God wants to do. So Jonah, we're going to sniper two verses here as we're going to continue on the story. And I believe it's going to speak to you today. Someone say fresh bread. Come on now, fresh bread, all right? And I'm going to jump right into this. Let me get to my notes here. All right, praise the Lord. Jonah chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 15 and 17, and then we'll also jump to Jonah chapter 2. New Living Translation, a dynamic equivalence. Verse 15, the word of the Lord reads like this here. Jonah is running from God. A storm hits. He jumps off the boat, and here's what's about to transpire to get him off the boat and get him in the right direction. In verse 15, the Bible says, then the sailors, they picked up Jonah, and they did what? What did they do? They threw him. They threw him, like just pushed him into it. Just kind of like, you're going to do it anyway. We'll talk about that in a second. But they threw him into the raging sea, and then what happened? The storm what? Stopped. At once, little side note, I put it in there for you. Sometimes the storm you're in is because who you let in your boat. I'm just going to put that out there. Little frog with a T. Come on. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there. You know the emoji? Anyway, I'm going to put that out there. Maybe the storm that you're going through is you just let the wrong person in your boat. There's some people, you got to give them the gift of goodbye. Come on, somebody. All right, stay focused. All right, verse 16. All right, stay focused. Then the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered the Lord him a sacrifice and vowed to serve God, or be him being the Lord. Verse 17. Now the Lord had arranged, someone say arranged, for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was where? Inside the fish for how long? And how many nights? 3 nights. I want you to remember the 3 days and 3 nights, because on the seventh day, come on somebody. Jonah chapter 10, 2 verse 10, then the Bible says he arranged the fish to swallow him up. But in Jonah 2:10 says, then the Lord ordered the fish. Someone say ordered. So we know that God arranged the fish. Now God ordered the fish, the Bible says, to spit Jonah out onto the beach. God arranged it, then God ordered it, and then it launched him into his destiny. Some people threw him into something, and then God threw him into his destiny. I want to talk to somebody today that I believe you stepped into this room, and God is getting ready to throw all of us into a new dimension. Come on, somebody. And I believe it's going to speak to us. I want to talk to you part two of stepping into his story. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the miracle in which we are seeing with our own two eyes, God, of this facility that was not a house of God is now becoming a place where families are going to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, where destinies are going to be received. I believe people are going to get married, Father, in this place, God. They're going to find kids will be raised and will be a house of worship declaring the praise of God, Lord. I pray this morning that you would speak to us. Give me the grace to communicate, Lord, your holy word, and let me serve your amazing people with excellence, honor, and commitment, Lord. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody who loves God say, amen. Give God one more hand clap. You may be seated. Tell someone next to you, we're history makers. Amen. Also want to welcome all those who are going to watch this on our television program, A Heart After God, and also hear it on our podcast. Amen. I'm going to jump right in here into the word of God, but in the verses we just read, I want to bring our attention specifically to what got Jonah's attention on God. So I want us to look at what caused Jonah to actually begin to realize that he needed to step into God's story for his life instead of trying to write his own story. Okay? And what caused Jonah to get his attention on God was, if you read the life of Jonah, it was the storm. It wasn't the great fish, not the fish. It was actually the storm. Because most people know the story of Jonah and the belly of a whale. And most people say, oh yeah, Jonah and the whale. You know, God used the whale to get his attention. No, it wasn't the whale. It was the storm. The storm, see, even the kids said amen. They're shouting me down from over there. Come on. It was not the whale that got Jonah's attention. It was actually the storm. Jonah was in the boat, and you know, I'm going this side because we usually put the boat here, but Jonah was in a boat, and the Bible says that he was headed in the wrong direction. Then a storm hit, and the boat was about to sink, and the storm made Jonah realize, I don't think I'm going in the right direction. And the storm got Jonah's attention and caused Jonah to begin to realize, maybe I'm not going the right way. In other words, isn't it interesting that God will use storms to sometimes get our attention? Isn't it interesting that God will even use stormy seasons to get our attention? Let me just park here and say, has God ever used a storm to get your attention? Yeah. And before we curse the storm, maybe we just need to realize, God, are you trying to get my attention? Like maybe I'm like over here trying to be like, God, are you trying to get my attention? Because God will use these things to get our attention. God will use storms. He will use seasons. He will even use dry places. He will even use cold places, even as cool as it is right now. But like I'm talking other colors. See, I told you I'm gonna talk about it all throughout the message. But you know, he will use warm. He will use seasons to try to get our attention. We serve a God who uses seasons in our life to get our attention. This is even true in the natural order of things. In the natural order, God uses seasons to grow creation. God will use the spring for things to spring. He'll use the summer so that we could all learn patience. Just kidding. He will use winter. He will use the fall. God, even in the natural order of things, uses the natural seasons to help creation grow, to help creation be healthy, even to help the natural order of creation for some things to die off. Come on, somebody. And God will use this. And we need to realize that even in our own lives, that God will use seasons in our lives to help grow some things out of us. Now, watch this. How are seasons even coming to play naturally? Well, we know, little lesson here, but we know that the way we get seasons is because the sun stays, it doesn't move, and the earth rotates around the sun. And as it rotates around the sun, the different seasons come, right? You get summer, you get winter, you get spring. And as it goes around the sun, it gets a different season. And here's what I want to tell to all us. The same is true in the spiritual sense. All of us, the S-O-N sun doesn't move. But as we move, as we go through life, you will find yourself going through different seasons. And God's like, he ain't moving. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so although your season is a winter, although your season may be a summer, although your season may be a storm, God's like, don't you worry. The seasons come and the seasons go, but I remain the same, and I'm trying to use it to thrust you, propel you. Who am I talking to today that's going through a season? You need to know that God is going to use this season. Come on, give God a praise if you're in this place. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, say, it's just a season. Tell them that. It's just a season. But God's trying to get your attention. Tell him, try to get church. He's trying to get church. God will use the seasons to get our attention. He will use this. Now, if we're all honest, if we all be honest this morning and tell the truth, don't be a mentiroso. Come on, somebody, okay? Like, if you are honest and you're like, I'm going to tell the truth right now, if we're all honest in church, because you can't lie in church, that's like a double sin. Just kidding. You know, you're in church. We all got to tell the truth. Is there have been seasons that we didn't want to go through. Who would raise their hand? I'll raise my hand. Okay, let's all be honest, okay? We have all gone through seasons. You're like, I don't want to go through this. Like, you know, maybe part was your decision, and it's okay. You know, maybe you made a bad call, but you found yourself in a season. You're like, I don't know why I got myself into this. And you're like, and you're like, I just want to get out of this season. Or maybe you just navigated into a season. You're like, man, I don't want to go through this. But if we're all honest, it is those moments that cause us to focus on God. I mean, there ain't nothing like a stormy season to make you pray. Come on. Amen. Because when you got that paycheck, you're like, it's all good. Hallelujah. And then you got laid off. Father, in Jesus' name, I am thy humble servant. Okay. I mean, it was all good until your kid, you know, started acting up. Now, all of a sudden, you're like reading The Power of Praying Mom. Come on, somebody. Yeah. There ain't nothing, and we should read them even still. I know, my wife just said, praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. But, you know, but what I'm saying is there's nothing like those seasons to get us to focus on God. But there are even some that during difficult seasons, they still run from God. I've always said this, answering the call of God or coming to Jesus is directly, they're having a good time over there. We ought to shout too. But it's not, don't worry, we're going to get our door soon. Right now we just have drapes, but it's all good. But for us, The answering God's call or doing what God calls us to do is directly proportionate to our pain tolerance. Some people just got a high pain tolerance. I mean, you see them suffering, they just still won't let go. You're like, dude, let it go. You're like, it is like your face looks like that. You know what I mean? It's like, let it go. Like, some people are like, just change your life. Like, why are you doing that? And all I got to say to somebody, God is gracious. God is good. But if you're in this room and you're going through a difficult season, don't try to fight God. Surrender to God. Come on, somebody. Go to him. And he's going to use it for your life. Somebody shout amen. Tell your neighbor. Just tell him. Encourage him. Say, just give it to God. Tell him, just give it to God. Come on, surrender to God. Amen. This type of things that Jonah found himself in, he found himself in these things. And I want to minister as at the time that I got to how to deal with going into these next steps. Because I think it's a very significant thing that we had last Sunday where over 342 people made decisions or you know, that, but come on, give God a clap for that made decisions. People made, or decisions were made. And I want to pastor our church. I want to help equip us to be able to sustain what God is going to do. And so I want you to write this down. How do we continue to step into his story even when we're going through different seasons and different things as a church and even in your own life as a married couple, as a family? Write this down. Number one is stepping into his story, we got to understand, always brings new changes. Okay? Someone say new changes. Just say new things. Okay? We have to embrace this, that as we begin to live out for God, you get saved and you begin to experience your walk with God and experience a life with Christ, we have to embrace new changes. We got to be believers that realize that God, if you're going to do something new in my life, then I've got to be willing to allow you to do some new changes in me. God will not use the old you in a new place. God is going to want to bring something new out of you. Some will say a new level. Some will say a new dimension. The Bible says he takes from glory to glory. In other words, there are new things. And I just really quick want to tell someone who's been serving God for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you still don't know God. You might know church, but you don't know God. I know you know when the offering time is and when the praise songs are 10 minutes and the worship is 10. And I know you know the sermon is this and the altar call's that and they have the kids' church. You may know church, but don't you ever think that you have figured out God. God has a new level, a new dimension, some new changes in your life. And we got to embrace this, because now let me go back to the story of Jonah, and let me read the text. But in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 15, I want you to see this here. The Bible says the sailors, what did they do? When Jonah decided, I need to get out of this and I need to go back to what God has called me, I need to step into his story. The Bible says the sailors, what did they do? They picked up Jonah, and then what did they do? They threw him into the raging sea and the sea stopped. But I want you to see this, that Jonah had to be willing for something new. Either he would stay on the same old boat with the same old posse, or if he was going to step into his story, he had to be willing to make some changes, some new changes. Now, two things I see in this scripture that I think will speak to all of us. Number one, his friends picked him up. Thank God for the friends who pick us up sometimes and just take us into the new changes. Come on, somebody. For some of you, I thank God for the people that picked me up and took me to church. They picked me up. Little side note, are you willing to let God use you to pick someone else up? Or you always want someone to pick you up? Come on, somebody. But thank God, they picked up Jonah, the Bible says. They picked him up. Now, I don't know, and I may be reading into it, but let's just look at the text forensically. But did they pick him up because he didn't want to go after all? He was like, he knew he needed to do it. He's like, I need to get off this boat. Like, I need to get off this boat. Like, this is not the right way. And guys, if you throw me off, this storm will stop because I'm running from God. And I don't know, maybe they were like, well, it's time for you to go. Like, I don't want to go after all. I know I signed up for the take the next step for his story and I checked the box, but I'm not. I know I say I want God to use my life, but you know, I don't know. I don't know after all. I don't know. The Bible says they picked him up and then they just threw that brother. Come on, somebody. I mean, they just threw him. Here's what I felt the Holy Spirit tell me. Some of us in this room, get ready because God's about to throw you into some things. He's about to throw you into some things. It's because God is going to put a demand on the gift, on the call, on the thing, on your life, because he is saying, I am getting ready to pour out my spirit on your family, on your future kids that are not even born yet, on the spouse you're about to meet that's going to get saved. I'm about to pour out into this area, into Southern California, and I know that you want to do it, and you decided to do it, but the devil's been trying to make you second guess your commitment, and so God says, I'm going to send some people that are actually going to just throw you into it, and you're about to find yourself in something that you always wanted to do but never had the strength to do. So God had to send someone to give you a shove of love. A shove of love? What's a shove of love? That's your life. Hey, who pushed me? And it's like, God just, come on, somebody. Who signed me up? I didn't even fill that out. How did I even get to church? They told me they're going to take me to lunch. Sometimes God will give you a shove of love because he wants you to step into what he has called you. Someone shout like God has come out to throw you into some things. He got thrown into it. He just got like, I got thrown into this. Jonah, watch this here. He wanted to change, but it required someone to throw him into it. Everybody wants change. Everybody does. Like people say, oh, you know, people don't want change. No, yeah, they do. Everybody wants change. Like, who wants a change in your pay grade to make more money? See, everybody does. You're like, no, not me. Not give it to somebody else. No. Of course you do, right? Doesn't everybody want change for better things? I mean, who wants a change for the better in your marriage? Who wants to change for the better in your kids? Who wants to change for the better in our community? I mean, who wants to change for the better? You could say, oh, everybody wants change. Nobody wants. Yes, they do. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants change. What people don't like is transition. We all want it. But to go through the process for it, that's another thing. See, the people that will make the greatest impact on planet Earth for the glory of God are those willing to be thrown into the transition. Throw me. I'll go through the process to see the change that God wants to do in my life, in the kingdom of God, in the house of God, in my marriage, in my family. God, go ahead and just throw me into it. Throw me, God, because in my heart I really want to do it, but sometimes I don't have the strength that just, so God, let me just be thrown into it. Go ahead, Lord. Some of you, I believe God is going to throw you even into conversations because he's going to want to use your life. You're going to go this afternoon to your nephew's birthday party, and you'll be like, how did I find myself in this conversation? Because this is how God helps people take their next step in his story. He throws you in. I'm not ready. Lord, whoa. I know. Jonah was probably like, I know I said like I need to get off this boat, but I didn't mean like right now. I don't mean like this right this moment. I mean, let's kind of play this out a little bit. You know, I know I checked that box, but, you know, I'm not sure. Like you know, hold up. I know. And what's going on? And I want to tell you, it's because God is going to do this. That's why somebody called you this week, sends you an email. They're not bugging you. They're just trying to throw you into your destiny. I'll take the four claps. Amen. Come on, somebody. That's why as a church, we're like, we're trying to, just do this for me. Do this for me real quick. To your neighbor. Don't do it too hard because you might get socked. But to your neighbor, just give him a little shove of love. Say, God's getting ready to give you a shove. Just like give him a little shove of love. Say, God's going to like shove you into some things, into this next. He's going to shove you into volunteering. He's going to shove you into a connector. You're going to feel even thrown into. And I'll prophesy this even. Some of you are going to get thrown into some opportunities. You're going to get thrown into another position, into another level of responsibility in your company, even in the community. Some of you, God says, I want to actually throw you into becoming a principal. God's going to open up some influence places for some influencers, but you got to be willing to let God just, come on, somebody. Go ahead, Lord. Go ahead. That's a radical prayer. God, just throw me in. Because it's amazing what God will do when someone is willing to just be thrown in for the glory of God. Ask Daniel. He got thrown into a lion's den. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got thrown into a fiery furnace. But it's amazing when they're like, we're still going to honor God. And God does powerful things through those things. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. They got thrown into this. Now the Bible says this in Isaiah 43, verse 19. Watch the Bible says. Watch the Bible. The Bible says, see, because I'm talking about new changes. I'm talking about doing new things. He says, see, I am doing, what does the Lord say he's doing? What is he doing? He says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. God tells the people, he's telling his people through the prophet Isaiah, and he's saying, God is trying to explain to them what he's up to. Like, God, what are you up to? What are you doing? Like what do you do? I mean, obviously, God doesn't sleep. He doesn't have flesh. We sleep. God doesn't sleep. Just say, thank you, Jesus, because when you're sleeping, the Lord is working. And so God doesn't sleep. And so, like, what, God, what are you doing? And God reveals, he says, you want to know what I'm doing? I'm doing a new thing. God's like, I'm trying to do something new. God is not trying to do the old thing. He's trying to do a new thing. And if we, as God's people, if you as a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, someone who's been called, set apart, saved for a purpose, filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit, have been given, you know, good things to do before you were ever born, before the foundation of the earth, then you've got to hear me out. God is trying to set you up, not for an old thing. He's trying to set you up for a new thing. He's trying to say, I'm trying to do something new in your life. I'm trying to take you into a new dimension, a new level. God's trying to show you something new about who he is. God takes us into these new things because why didn't you come to church? You didn't come to church for an old thing. I know you didn't come to church for the same old marriage, the same old mindset. I know you didn't come here for the same old problems, the same old hangups, the same old addictions. I know you didn't come here just to do church the same old way. You came today because you want God to do, anybody in this place want God to do something new? I'm going to let you give God a new thing praise and say, God, I want a new thing. I want some new changes in my life. You came here for a new thing, not an old thing. Who wants an old iPhone? If you don't got one, it's new to you. But I'm talking about you ain't trying to get no iPhone 5 when you got a 7. Then why do we come to God that way? God's like, I'm trying to do a new thing.
I'm trying to expand a new dimension, a new, what does that even mean? Pastor, what do you mean by dimension? The word dimension means a new proportion. God's like, the dimension of something is how big something is. What is the dimension? The dimension of the wall is 13 by 20. When I say a new dimension, God's saying, you thought that wall was 13 by 20. I'm ready to go 20 by 20 in your life because I am expanding you. I am Isaiah 55, enlarge your tents, stretch wide your curtains. God says, I'm about to give you new territory, new ground. And what is over this house is going to come over your house and your family and your children. Anybody right now just want to begin to enlarge? The Bible says don't hold back. Come on, someone shout new thing. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Tell three people, say, seek God for new things. Tell them that. New changes, new levels. You see, if we're going to take the next step in his story, not our story, but his story, then we got to say, God, I'm ready for the new thing. I'm ready for the new department. I'm ready for the new souls. I'm ready for the new things that you want to do in my life. Because God, I know that I'm becoming the church for the church that is coming. Amen. Now, if you're married, I'm not talking about your spouse being a new thing. Okay. You can have a new thing with the same girl or the same man, because God can change that heart and make it new. And so we call it the new marriage with the same spouse. Come on, give God a clap like He could do a miracle. I gotta set the record straight there. Because then people will walk out and be like, Pastor said, new thing. Come on. No. See? Thank you, honey. No. Amen. All right. You see, God told, send the storm, and Jonah jumped out into a new thing. And God used this new thing in his life. Now, you would be shocked, okay? You will be shocked. Because to step into new dimensions is to embrace new changes. A new capacity, I'm not afraid of the new, I embrace the new. I'm willing to go through the transition of the new, God, to seek you for what I haven't touched in your life, and God, to seek you for the miracles I haven't seen, to see a new fresh anointing come from heaven, a new fresh manna, a new mercy. It requires, I call it a divine discomfort. In other words, God, I'm satisfied with where I'm at, but God, I always want to be hungry for more. I want to press for God to do more in my life. Because you said you're up to the new thing. Notice the scripture says, can you not perceive it? In other words, I don't want to miss it. Now, if you read further, it says that he's making a way in the wasteland. In other words, the new thing is making a way. The way that you're looking for breakthrough is in the new thing. Show me, Lord. Process it in my life so I can step into it. But for us that are in Christ, and I want to get to this point, then I'm going to move on. But for us serving God, salvation is a starting point. Say that with me. Salvation is a starting point. So God starts our lives with a new thing called salvation. When you get saved, it's a new thing. You get new mercy, new grace, newfound relationship with God. That's what they call it. You're born again. Everything's brand new. But so many people stay right there. And God's like, once you start there, God wants you to grow and go into new dimensions or new levels, new places in your walk with God. But you will be so surprised how many church people are saved, but they're stuck. Okay? They're saved, but they're stuck in their walk with God. They're going to heaven. They're like, they got Jesus, and I'm not okay, soteriology, you're saved, you're by Jesus plus nothing. It's not on what you've done. It's not based upon your good works, your good merits, how many times you went to church. You are saved because God is good, not you. Someone say, thank you, Jesus, okay? I must receive him as my Lord and Savior. He washes me with the blood of his son, Jesus, and I'm saved, sanctified. However, but at that point, we now need to make a decision for transformation. We now need to say, God, I want to step into a new dimension with you. I don't want to be a stuck Christian for 20 years. I don't want my marriage to be stuck. I don't want because wherever I'm stuck, it will become a lid on those that come up behind me. Come on. Wherever I'm stuck, whatever Goliath you don't kill, your children will have to kill. Whatever you leave in the land, they're going to face. And I don't know about you, but God didn't save me just so I can be saved and have a good old. No, no. Some of you, God saved you. And I'm going to break the news to you. God saved you. And he's like, listen, I marked you with heaven. I set you apart. You just thought you were going to be normal, but I didn't call you to be mediocre. I didn't call you to be an average. I called you to be extraordinary. I called you to go into new levels. Are you hungry? God wants to. Anybody hungry for a fresh move of God in this generation? Make some noise and give God a praise if you want a fresh move of God. And so tell your neighbor, say, don't get stuck. Okay, don't get stuck. Tell them, move into the new thing. Number two, write this down. I got to move quickly here. Don't get stuck on point one. Okay, Lord. All right. But write this down. If we're going to step into his story, and again, I'm giving you practical teaching here today, but we understand that stepping into his story brings new challenges, okay? I need to help you. I need to equip you because it preaches good to say, just, you know, sign up for the next thing and the next thing that God's going to take you. And we're like, yes. And then we step into the new thing and then new challenges arise. And we go, well, I didn't know there was going to be this on the other side of that new thing. Oh, my goodness. Now we have new challenges. But those new challenges are a blessing. Because that new challenge now becomes a new opportunity for new levels. When God wants to increase your life, he will bring you a new challenge so that it can propel you, thrust you, throw you into what you've always been called to do. When David got anointed with a fresh anointing, a new anointing, he then met a new challenge called Goliath. And David could have said, I was supposed to be king. Why do I got to fight this big old ugly monster? Because that ugly opposition was actually his opportunity. It was an opportunity to rise above the challenge and let God use his life. And for Jonah, let's go back to our text here. But in the story of Jonah, the Bible says here that when the storm stopped, he now found himself in the belly of a whale. Verse 17, the Bible says, now the Lord arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. I want you to see that Jonah finally steps off of the boat. He's like, okay, I'm just throw me off. And Jonah, I don't know if Jonah thought he was just going to fall in the sea. He might die, or maybe a boat will come and catch me. But I definitely know that he was not thinking, a fish is going to eat me, okay? I definitely was not going like, yeah, I'll just kind of jump, and then a fish will swallow me. I'll chill out in the belly of a whale, and then I'm just going to go down. No. He found himself now in a challenging place, okay? So now he's like, I obeyed God, and now I found myself in a challenging place. Now he's like pressured. Now, I've never been in the belly of a whale. I don't plan on being in the belly of a whale. I hope to never be in the belly of a whale, but I don't think that's a comfortable place. Okay, and none of us are like, I'm going to take a vacation on the belly of a whale. None of us want to be in there. Or, you know, you're like, it's probably ugly. It's probably like packed down. You know, he's like, it's a miracle that he's in there. And it is always a miracle that you survive the challenges you go through. But that's the testimony over your life, is that what you thought would kill you actually transitioned you, and you overcame that. Oh, you're not getting this one. It actually takes you. So here he is in a challenging place, the stinky belly of a whale. Stinking, you know. And he's in there. And he's like, oh my goodness. Now, this is so powerful, because when he's in that challenging place, he has a decision to make. How am I going to respond that now I'm in this challenging place? And I felt to encourage our church this preview Sunday, as you are getting ready to take our next step into his story. And some of you signed up for Starting Point and Grow Track and Bible College. And some of you are like, I'm going to tithe. I'm a heart for the house. I'm going to put God first. Some of you are like, I'm going to get baptized and I'm going to go for it. And some of you are going to get baptized, and some of you are going to go to Grow Track, and you're going to find out your gift, and you're going to volunteer. But I want to tell you the full truth and nothing but the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is that when you obey God, you will face challenges. But do not lose heart. God says, for I have overcome the world. I am telling you, when you decided to give your life to God, you are going to face a challenge. You're going to be like, Jesus, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. Then you're going to go to work, and your boss is going to go like, finish this paper, bleep, 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 bleep. You're like, don't you know I just got saved on Sunday? I've made new changes, and you're up here trying, come on, somebody. You are going to face challenges when you step into God's history for your life. You're going to get baptized. You're going to be all wet. They're going to take the picture. Oh. Then your fiance is going to say, I don't want to serve no God. You are going to face challenges. You're going to say, honey, we're going to go to the what is that called? Track? Trick? Is it a trick or is it a track? What is it? And you're going to learn about Jesus. And then you're going to be like, man, I feel like our marriage, we've been arguing and bickering. It's because the devil's trying to come fight you. And you're going to say, well, maybe we didn't do the right thing. No, the challenge is the proof that God is getting ready to work on you and transition you. You're going to say, I'm going to start paying my tithes. Or what is it called? Tithes, like a tithe, tithe. Who made up this word? It's in the Bible. I don't know. And then they're going to say, we're getting a pay decrease. What? What are you going to do in the challenge? Are you going to say, you know what? No, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor God. I'll take the one clap. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm a heart for the house. I'm going to honor God. Some of you are like, I'm going to go to Bible college. That's it. I've always wanted to, you know, because you're like, I want to take my name. Again, we're becoming the church for the church. Just come. Like, that's it. I'm going to start doing this. And what's going to happen is you're going to say, your job's going to say, hey, we need you to stay late every Tuesday during the fall. You're like, challenge. Some of you are going to be like, you know, I'm going to start serving. And I'm once and for all, I'm going to do this. And they're going to say, hey, listen, we want you to start working on Sundays. I'm telling you, the challenge is coming. For us as a church, the challenge is coming, because the challenge right now for us is as we begin to say, God, look at this new thing that you're doing. Now the challenge is, how, God, are we going to use this for your glory? How are more souls going to get saved? How are more lives going to be touched? How are more anybody get excited to see families get restored by the power? Anybody excited? How are we going to fill more people with the Holy Spirit? How are we going to see more miracles? How are we going to affect the glory of God? How are we going to give away more backpacks? How are we going to flood the increase? How are we going to teach the kids about Jesus? Anybody up for the challenge? Give God a shout of praise. Come on, somebody. Hey. So he's in the challenge. He's like, man, now I'm in this challenging place. All I wanted to, maybe he wanted to die. I don't know. We don't know. But all I know is they threw him off. Now he's in a whale. Okay. And he's in this whale. And the Bible gives us this insight. Okay, just give me a few minutes. I'm going to wrap it up right now. The Bible gets, it's like so cool in here. I could just keep preaching. Come on, somebody. Anyway, I told you I'm going to do it like 10 times. But thank you, Jesus. Amen. They didn't give me a preacher towel either this time. Last week, I felt like a preacher. Okay. But the Bible gives us this cool insight. Keep me focused, church. Trust me. Squirrel. All right. But in Jonah chapter 2, the Bible tells us, gives us an inside look on what Jonah did inside the whale, okay? Look at verse 1. It says, then Jonah, what did he do? He prayed, but the Bible says where he prayed from. To the Lord, his God, from where? Inside the challenging place. He shows us that Jonah was like, I can complain right now. I could like, you don't love me, God. You forgot me, man. But Jonah was like, I'm going to pray. And he began to pray to the Lord his God. I'm not going to read you whole chapter 2. Go ahead and read the whole chapter 2. But the whole chapter 2 is Jonah praying, crying out to God. He starts crying out to him. But in verse number 8, go down to verse 8 if you can for me, team. The Bible says that he says this. This is what Jonah says from inside the well. He says, there are those who worship false gods, and they turn their backs on all God's mercies. And you know, stop real quick. He's really talking about himself right here. He's like, there are those, but he's such a new, he's like, and he's in a new place. He's in a new mentality. And when I say new dimension, the first new dimension you gotta be in is a new dimension of thinking before you can ever enter a new dimension of living. And you gotta have a new dimension of a heart, your heart, before you can ever have a new dimension in your home. And so here he is now. He's saying, man, there are those that don't worship false gods. He's actually talking about his old self. He's like, that's not me no more. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, that's not me no more. You know, I ain't messing around with that stuff. You know, before I used to worship money and I used to worship power and sex and all, do all that stuff. But now he's like, I don't do that no more. There are those who turn their backs on all God's mercies. He's, that's him. He was running from God. And he says this in verse 9. He says, but I will offer my life as a living sacrifice. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You find this even in Jonah. Why? Because Christ is ever. But I will offer my life is an offering. My life, my mouth, my faith, my thinking, my mentality, my family, my life is an offering. I'm going to offer it to you. Right now, God, I can complain. I can get mad that I made these new changes, but I'm facing these new challenges. But instead, I'm going to offer a sacrifice to you, and it's a song of praise, and I will fulfill my vows, for my salvation comes from God alone. I'm going to give somebody 30 seconds to give God a sacrifice of praise from your challenging place. I give it to you, Lord. I offer it to you. You see, true worship, God won't take it. It can only be given to him. That's why God won't take certain things from you, because that's not real worship. Because if he takes it, you never wanted to give it to him, so that's not real worship. But real worship is, God, I give it. I give you my praise. I give you my offering. I give you my life. I give it to you. And God says, that's real worship. That's real. That's why our church, our vision is to create a church people want to come to. That's one segment we want to do. In other words, imagine a place where people want to come to. No one's forcing them. But they're like, I want to be there. I want to serve God. I want to live for Jesus. That's what I want to build. Because my desire is I want you to want to. Amen? Parents say amen. You know, when they wash dishes, I want you to want to wash those dishes. They don't want to wash it. But anyway, just do it anyway. But I'm talking about serving Jesus. I want you to want, all right? We don't know this. Can I go a little deeper? Okay. We don't know. Okay, how many days did it say Jonah was in the belly of a whale? 3 days. And how many nights? 3 nights, okay? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, like, what day Jonah started praying. It just said that Jonah prayed from inside the whale, and he said this prayer, and then he said, I'm going to give you a sacrifice of praise from the challenging place, and he does all this. We don't know when, but in my forensic study, I'm going to say that it was the third day that Jonah finally surrendered to God, because like I told you, I even think Jonah was so stubborn, okay? I don't know, you know, of course we know that later on God references as Jesus being in the belly well, he raised after 3 days. But all I know is that after he said this, watch what verse 10 says, okay? Verse 10, it says, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit out Jonah on the beach. So I'm going to say that after Jonah finally was like, got a new revelation about the new challenges in his life, God says, now you're ready for me to spit you, to order you out into a new dimension. But I can't take you into that new place until there's been a new thinking, a new revelating. Watch this now, because God will always challenge your mind to test your heart. Always. He'll challenge your thinking. You go, this doesn't look like God, but I'm gonna trust you anyways. God says you passed the test. For us as a church, we're like this building, headache after headache, and we got thrown into challenges called seismic retrofitting, and we got thrown into challenge called more AC units. We got thrown into challenges like the screws, we want them lined up right, all kinds of stuff. We're like, God, we're going to trust you anyway. God, we're going to give you offerings. We're going to sing songs of praise. We're still going to save souls, even if we're having church on the patio, the community center, elementary schools, at the movie theaters, even though we're doing stuff. God, it don't matter what challenge we are in, you are still God. We are not going to turn our back on the destiny and the call and the purpose that you called us, because I want to see new things, new levels, new dimensions, new places, and I'm going to come on, somebody. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm going to serve. Come on through whatever. Anybody in a challenging place, you just need to worship him. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just worship him in that challenging place. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. To find out more about Freedom House Church, visit us at freedomhouseoc.org.